Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World episode 91. I'm your host, John Jordan, and joining me for today's episode is Robbie Ferguson, co-founder at Immutable Games. Is it Immutable Games? I was going to say Immutable Games, but yes, Immutable Games. How's it going, Robbie?
Good, John, and just Immutable. We used to be Fuel Games, but yeah.
I always, because I'm always covering games, you always kind of think games companies have like games at the end, but then you go, well, everyone knows they're a games company, so why would they do that? Anyway, just Immutable, sorted that out. Good to have you on. You have been around in the blockchain game space for a long time, as you just said there, started off as Fuel Games back in, was it 2017, 2018, I guess, that sort of time?
Yeah, really the tail end of 2017 is when we first got involved in the space from a product and building perspective. But my co-founder and I have been in blockchain since 2014.
Uh-huh. You're using your veteran status there. So tell us a little bit.
It's only in crypto that 6 years would be veteran status, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Let's kind of peel that apart a little bit before we get stuck into the game side of things. So how did you get into crypto? What was the kind of the spark there?
Yeah, we first got into crypto, as I said, in 2014 with Bitcoin, but that was really just, hey, this is pretty cool. Like, let's buy a little bit and then sell all of it so we never make any money. And it was first in 2015 that we actually got properly involved in the space with Ethereum. We saw that come out and we just thought that was amazing. And I remember the magic moment for me, apart from reading the Ethereum white paper, and the community back then was so magical. Like, it was really quite rare to see a community that was so excited, especially in the early days, of what the future could be of this thing. And this was, you know, there were some bull runs and people in it for the money, but it was like very much a lot of developer interest back then as well. And the thing that really captured my imagination was I literally remember using, whether it was Etherroll back then or some other variant, it was like some very simple smart contract where you flip a coin and would either double your money and with, you know, 49% odd or 51% odd, take all your money. And I thought that is proof of why this is going to change the world, which is not anything related to gambling, but the fact that you can take an industry which requires hundreds of billions of dollars of government oversight and regulation and make it fair and transparent and provable in like three lines of code. Like, that has never before been possible, and you can't take that smart contract down. And so I think that was the primitive of what to me was an example of why this would take over the world and end up eating everything, which is what we're seeing now play out.
So it's interesting that I think, you know, a lot of people would hear you say that and just go, well, how could you kind of extrapolate this massive thing going to happen in 6 years' time from something like that? But it is interesting, I guess, how blockchain, you know, kind of triggers, you know, in very different ways. I think our kind of vision, our imagination for where things are going. So I guess I first came across you, as you mentioned, when you were Fuel Games. So can you talk a little bit about kind of how Fuel Games came about and I guess your first product your game product that you released?
Yeah, that's right. So at the end of 2017, we saw NFTs come out, which were first encapsulated, even though they weren't full ERC-721s, in CryptoPunks. And I met the team a year and a half ago, and they're great guys, but they were lamenting how they wish they owned more CryptoPunks. But the interesting thing is I saw that and I'm like, well, this is very clearly going to be the future. And the reason was NFTs to me were taking the fundamental value proposition of blockchain, which was censorship resistance, hard cap supply, and decentralization effectively, and allowing that to be applied to all unique asset classes, not just fungible asset classes. And that was the most significant jump to me, because it's really cool to have it for Bitcoin, it's really cool to have it for Ethereum and all the ERC-20s that spring up on Ethereum, but the world isn't just made up of fungible stuff. And so to be able to take that fundamental value prop and apply it to everything was massive. And it also, to me, didn't require speculation on, hey, what is going to be this crazy future decentralized Uber DeFi product back then. It was very, very simple, which is, this is the technological primitive, which is going to allow blockchain to take over a very great portion of the world. And we thought the best place to start was gaming. And, you know, my co-founder and I, my brother, are massive gamers. We grew up loving, particularly in game economies. Like, I was a massive RuneScape and Neopets fan. Anything where you could kind of have an arbitrage opportunity or play long-term games is the most interesting thing to me. And a fun fact, actually, I remember I once hopped onto, so my co-founder is my older brother, and I hopped onto his account one day in RuneScape, and I went into the wilderness, and he was pretty kitted out. So he was like level 102, he's got full dragon armor, and I took him to the wilderness and I just lost it all. And this was worth quite a bit of gold back in the day. His account was effectively gone. And I was afraid of what he would do to me back then. So I decided to buy gold online from a farming service and, buy all his items back. And it cost me like $30. And 2 days later, the account was banned. And now Jagex just sells you gold. So I thought that was pretty rubbish early on. And I think there's a better way we can run some of the economic models in these games, which embraces people's desire to have them as assets and trade them, which is the paradigm shift we're seeing with the whole of crypto, right? So, yeah, I think we saw that gamers were digital natives. They would love to be able to own their stuff, and they will understand the value proposition of this faster than any other demographic class around the world. So we thought it was a really, really fantastic place to start making, you know, NFTs take over the world.
I've heard so many sort of stories of people who got into kind of blockchain, and particularly blockchain games, you know, fairly early on. And they'd all gone through those sort of similar processes of doing some sort of things against, you know, the game terms, you know, in terms of those kind of economies, and obviously at some point getting banned. I mean, I guess the most famous example is Vitalik in World of Warcraft. But I've heard that just, you know, anecdotally from there's a lot of people who, and I don't necessarily think that was the main reason they got into blockchain. But I think
no, he said that was a joke. But it's a really good point of how people come to these realizations on, from a principled perspective, why you need trustless economic value. You can't have centralized parties dictating these things.
So let's move a bit forward. Let's move to where we are now. We can maybe kind of go back and talk a bit certainly about Gods Unchained in a minute. But at the moment, you've kind of finally, not finally, I should say, but you've launched Immutable X, which is your layer 2. It's kind of scaling for your products and for other products. It obviously kind of works with Ethereum, and that's taken you know quite a long time to do. I think, you know, these things are not simple. So can you talk a little bit about that process and why I guess you felt that you had to kind of create your own layer 2, because there are obviously other layer 2s, you know, sort of commercial products out there. It's interesting, some developers have chosen, you know, to do their own, some have gone with kind of, I guess, kind of generalized middleware. Why did you decide you had to kind of make that investment and create your own?
Yeah, okay, so this is quite a big question. The first thing to say is it is always the plan of the company to be a technology company. We see Gods Unchained in our products as A, excellent products, which we want to make, you know, a top 3 trading card game in the world. But more importantly than us, they're our customer that allows us to build a protocol successfully and not in isolation from what developers actually want and need. So that's kind of the first thing to say. The second thing to say is that when we built Immutable X, when we decided to build it, it was very much, we want to make a protocol that is not just serving our games, but that can serve every game. And the important choices in that was we never wanted to compromise on 2 things as we search for a way to build this scaling solution. And if there was, you know, a good one out there, we would have used it. But the 2 things we never wanted to compromise on was A, security, and B, network effects and commercial success. So what do I mean by security? Security means when a large gaming company, whether it's Blizzard, Activision, Ubisoft, or you know, Nexon, or someone says, okay, we're really ready to make the dive into blockchain gaming, into NFTs. Their biggest nightmare is putting them on a blockchain and having one of their users' assets compromised via an attack on the chain. That's their brand damaged. That's worth, you know, that's going to hold back the industry by far more than any lack of interesting content will, is a damaging experience for a major player. And so what they want is a solution that they can rely on being game theoretically secure, no matter how valuable it is. And the reality is, you just can't put like Fortnite assets or a $69 million, you know, Beeple on many of these alternative solutions. They're just either not secure enough, they're not decentralized enough, or they're not capable of supporting that level of value. Like the level of value of those assets is worth more than the cost to attack the blockchain. And so the number one most important criterion for us is it has to be truly decentralized and has to be secure. And to me, rather than building our own blockchain, raising a bunch of money from VCs and, you know, going into bat against Ethereum, we thought, well, why don't we just work with Ethereum and scale it? That seems to be A, like far more beneficial for users, and B, helps us achieve our second goal, which is network effects and commercial success. So the second most important thing is, even if you have the most secure solution in the world, if no one uses it, it doesn't matter. And so what was really important to us is that where users trade, the protocol in which they're trading has to be the protocol in which everyone is using. It's where you can find the fairest price for your assets. It's where if you're a marketplace and you're trading your assets, you're having the most activity occurring on the protocol under the hood. It's where if you're a game developer or an art asset originator or a major IP doing an NFT drop, you are getting a maximum revenue because that's where users live and that's where users' money lives. So that was really, really important. And again, the clearest solution for us was build a layer two on Ethereum rather than build a competitor to Ethereum. And to get very clear, there are currently no layer twos other than Immutable X live on Ethereum right now for NFTs. So things like sidechains aren't actually a layer two. They're effectively just their own consensus mechanism with the bridge to Ethereum, which is really the only alternative you have right now.
I mean, that's logically that sort of makes sense. You make a good argument for it, but it's interesting that particularly on the network effects side of it, that clearly is a much more ambitious project, mainly from perhaps from a technical point of view, but certainly from a kind of a kind of commercially onboarding point of view than just building something that really works well for your games, which, you know, other kind of blockchain game projects are just sort of, you know, building their own thing that's kind of tailored to what they want to do. And that sort of makes, you know, that sort of makes sense. They're just building their own tech. Whereas, you know, the network effects thing is you guys are looking to do something that is obviously, you know, bigger than your games, bigger than the games that you're also publishing.
I think it sort of makes sense. I think the areas in which it doesn't make sense is A, it's very, very expensive to build good technology here. It's pretty cheap to build a centralized sidechain. And you get pretty cheap results, which is the only way you're achieving scalability is by compromising on decentralization. Like people talk about scalability as an issue with Ethereum. Ethereum chooses not to be scalable right now because it prefers preserving decentralization. And the reason ETH2 and proof of stake sharding is taking so long is because these are very difficult things to build well, while not compromising on decentralization. So when other chains magically come out with scalability, whether that's a side chain or whether that's a brand new layer one, they've generally done it by, you know, cutting something. Like they're compromising on something, right? They haven't magically gotten more smart than the largest blockchain developer ecosystem in the world, Ethereum, who's been working on it for many, many years. But the second thing is almost more important, which is at the end of the day, in a decade, tech won't matter. There'll be a number of sufficiently decentralized solutions. What will matter is where are the network effects? What do people use? And time again, the world has proven that an inferior technological product, which gets a head start on network effects, always wins out. And that's why we've chosen to build on Ethereum and inherit those network effects and scale Ethereum rather than competing with it. And frankly, I view sidechains as a competitor to Ethereum. Anything with its own consensus mechanism and its own source of value is effectively competition to the ultimate settlement layer.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I guess, as you say, we'll kind of see how stuff plays out. I don't want to fall down. We're in a rabbit hole. I don't want to fall down additional rabbit holes of talking about something like Binance Smart Chain.
But, of course. And this is just my view.
Yeah. And I would broadly say I would agree with you, but equally, I think it's interesting. We won't discuss this any further. But something like Binance Smart Chain clearly has you know, by any metric, been very successful. How that plays out in the future, we'll wait and see. It's not a game thing, so I'm not going to continue down that line. So okay, so you've got Immutable X. You're there. You're saving gas fees. You've got like over a million NFTs minted on there. So how does Immutable X and Gods Unchained how do they sort of start to go in sync now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And look, I might touch quickly again on, back on the previous point, which is I think it's good that there's competitors to Ethereum. Like, it's, competition is great, right? It's just people need to know what they're getting at the end of the day, and it's very important that that is clear. So I'm all for competition. Competition produces better products. It produces better prices for consumers. But we often see inauthentic or misrepresented competition in the crypto space. But how does Immutable X work with Gods Unchained? I mean, so we launched last week the very early alpha, which is very exciting and nerve wracking at the same time. But it's actually been really successful. So we're really happy. So the couple of stats I'm excited about are: in the first 24 hours, more peer-to-peer NFT trades occurred via our layer 2 than occurred on Ethereum in the previous week on layer 1. And we also saved users $500,000 in gas, US. And then the third stat I'm actually most proud of, which is actually not something you typically think would be proud of, is the average NFT trading price is $23. And the reason I'm excited about that is no 23 NFT dollar trades are occurring on Mainchain right now because of gas fees. So you're literally cutting off such a large portion of value for people for being able to exchange and create a marketplace, especially for the long tail of NFT assets. Because right now we've seen a tremendous amount of interest around art NFTs, which I think is amazing, and people have been doing amazing work. And the reason we build Immutable X is so we can also cater to those people, because you're not going to put a $69 million people on a sidechain, right? But the reason I'm excited about this is you finally open the floodgates for liquidity for low value assets, which is when you can have the big players coming into the space. It's when you have, you know, major gaming companies coming and saying, hey, Ethereum is ready now for us to put a World of Warcraft on there, for us to put a Fortnite on there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, it is. Yeah. It's kind of funny. I do a lot of videos and you look back, in fact, have sort of comments and people, you know, laughing at me saying 2 years ago, oh, the gas fees were quite expensive and it's like $2, and but you're buying $10 things there, you know, and you sort of forget over time how quickly you lose the ability to just buy these very low value assets. And it's, you know, it was kind of, you know, go back to 2017.
I always like the question we always asked, you know, how much worse can it get?
Oh yeah, no.
The answer is it can just get infinitely worse. Like, what if in 6 months we're looking at 1500 Gwei and you can't buy anything under $5,000, right? So it is very important we move to these layer twos.
That's a really good, and I guess it's kind of interesting because when you do kind of give people now the opportunity, you have this kind of pent up demand that's obviously been there for, you know, 6 months, you know, a year's worth of people desperate to kind of do something and not being able to do it. I've even felt it like this week when the gas fees on Ethereum are like under 100. I'm like, there must be something I can do. It's under 100 Gwei now. I must be able to do something. So that's a sort of good technological step. But in terms of the, kind of this network effects, can we talk a little bit about you guys moving into publishing? Because that's, I guess, a logical outworking of you having, you know, being a games company with your technology. And a big point of network effects is having, you know, multiple kind of products on there. You have more users going in. You have more value going in. So was that always something you were going to do, as in, you know, directly kind of publish things? Or was that, because publishing is a bit different to developing, you know, there's a different sort of attitudes.
Definitely. Yeah, look, I can actually answer this pretty comprehensively, which is publishing is probably a small part of Immutable's future in comparison to just focusing on our protocol. So we absolutely want to focus on the content we have right now. Especially because that content has a lot of traction and we think they're excellent examples of the space. I mean, the amount of games companies I've talked to who said we use Gods Unchained as a model of how we think about entering the space is very high as one of the first kind of true AAA games on the blockchain. But over the future, I see the company's main expansion being we're a protocol serving everybody. And we think there's a particularly good use case for games right now. So yeah, the more interesting thing is I think perhaps all the games we're talking to about supporting in different ways. And look, the things they're interested in there are, A, how can they give a frictionless and seamless experience to their users? And B, how can they design their economies around the constraints or benefits of the blockchain? And I think in the same way that you literally can't have a sustainable economy without scarce money, like Bitcoin or Ethereum. You cannot have a sustainable game economy without scarce NFTs. And so I'm very, very excited about, because literally there has been no successful game economy. And I use successful in quite a hard word here, which is there have been lots and lots of economies that have made a lot of money for the generators of the economy. There have been lots and lots of economies which create interesting metagames, but there has been no economy where you have prices remain sustainable, where you have proper constraints on the operating systems and the inputs and outputs of the economy. And even if you look at things like RuneScape, you literally can't buy the most expensive assets right now, right? Like you have to find, you have to collateralize them, because the maximum amount of gold that the database can allow your inventory to hold can't buy you a red party hat. And so I think the interesting thing is, for the first time ever, we're able to have hard cap supply constraints on components of the economy. And that can give users certainty around that, how economy can build. Like you literally can't have economy without scarcity, right? It's like one of the fundamental tenets of the blockchain. I'm excited for game developers to bring their massive expertise from normal gaming and see, well, how can we build with these advantages now in this space?
So how do you think that kind of, normal or traditional game developers are actually viewing this? Because I've been around the game space, for a long time, and even now, I'm still quite surprised that the there's a level, there's definitely a lack of enthusiasm, and there's a level of sort of kind of a certain amount of antagonism still, and a certain amount of sort of boredom. Certainly, the NFT side of things, I don't think has necessarily helped kind of games companies get excited about blockchain. So obviously, you're talking to people, on a different level. You've got a technology that you're sort of offering to them. Or people are coming to you and saying, you seem to be being successful in this space. How can you help us? I mean, do you think game companies now sort of now understand this is where it's going, or is this still seen as, pretty bleeding edge, and maybe, in 5 years we'll sort of get round to it? Has the attitude changed since you've been, kind of offering, being in the blockchain game space?
So the most interesting thing is that, A, there are many, many games companies around the world right now who literally have a full-time team of 30 or 50 people working on blockchain gaming full-time. There are obvious ones.
Really?
Absolutely. I mean, there are obvious ones like Ubisoft, where they have their incubator and all that jazz, and they're actively making plays in the space. And of course, it's not Ubisoft's real treasury and gaming engine focused on this stuff right now. It's a guy with, a good budget who's trying to prove to the CEO this is the future. But these 30 people are not a significant investment by these companies, but they are absolutely interested, because every company is terrified of being disrupted. That's, the innovator's dilemma, and is the difficulty of incumbents is to stay ahead of these developments and make sure they're not, the ossified incumbents who just get taken by storm, which with crypto seems like it can be done easier than ever because of the rapid ability to switch network effects with incentive coordinations, as we saw with even SushiSwap and Uniswap. So I think that's first the interesting thing, which is like everyone right now is like eyeing suspiciously the space and making sure that if it blasts off, they're ready to take advantage of it. And the second thing is this year, the space has blasted off and they need to be ready to take advantage of it. So my timelines on mainstream gaming has been accelerated by about 2 years. At the end of last year, it was really, we're setting up to be having real engagements with the space in 2 years from major gaming companies or indie gaming companies. And there's a ton of interest from indie gaming companies because they see this as an excellent way to monetize early on. But now with the rise of NFTs, and like our job used to be, how do you explain an NFT without saying the word NFT? How do you talk about the values of real world trading and stuff? And now it's just out there. So this is amazing. We have massively, and I think we're seeing a lot of this narrative pivot toward gaming as well, and these gaming companies start to prick up their ears in very, very earnest interest. So I think we're going to start seeing major players come out from major gaming companies end of this year, start of next year. They want to do it in the right way, but we're definitely going to start seeing some.
Hmm. Have you been surprised that, obviously game NFTs have been around, end of 2017, I guess we had the ERC 721 standard. And obviously there's blockchain games out there. They just, not really had much traction. And even now we've had this explosion in sort of, anyone minting any old sort of nonsense. in terms of the art side. But it's I'm still a bit surprised that, and maybe it's because I'm in the space, so it's sort of obvious to me that people haven't thought NFTs that, you know, actually have sort of, you know, value because you use them in a product. That seems to be something people haven't sort of caught on with yet. And I kind of thought this would be the time at which sort of games would sort of, you know, come into, you know, into the vanguard, where people would suddenly realize, well, NFTs can't just be art. They can be actual things that you use in a game. And maybe I'm just a bit too, you know, excitable and expect everything to happen too fast. But it still seems to be surprising that we have things like, you know, NBA Top Shot, which is a, you know, great collectible sort of product, but we still haven't really got a mass market blockchain game that uses NFTs, to my view at least. I mean, how do you see that?
Yeah, this is why we build Immutable X. The constraint is scalability. The constraint is being able to allow people to have a frictionless experience. You can't build a successful game which relies on, you know, where you're competing over seconds of people's attention to get them into a gaming experience at the top end and around the mobile end in particular. Like you see those awful mobile ads where it's save the princess or whatever. You know, that stuff is just optimizing to the nth degree. And if you have to have this, you know, cost of goods sold, which is $40 per NFT generated, there's no way you're going to compete with these highly, highly optimized gaming machines. But I think the reality is the problem is that you refer to it and that we all refer to it still as blockchain gaming. I think when we start to say users' expectations of what their assets are have changed, and we start to see mainstream economies just use NFTs as the best way to implement those economies in a genuine and thoughtfully monetized way that aligns incentives between parties, that's going to be when we see the first major kind of use case. And you probably wouldn't even refer to it as a blockchain game. And there's some really good attempts going on right now, I think, of building some of that as well.
So we're gonna be sort of, I guess, wrapping up now. Where are things going for you guys? You've got Gods Unchained, you've got Immutable X as a platform. You've probably got lots of other things you don't want to talk about. But how do the next 6 months look from an Immutable
point of view? Yeah, so we're really, really excited to, A, on the Gods Unchained front, finally unlock the growth system we've been designing for a very long time but have been unable to do because even paying one person an NFT card for playing the game costs us $30. And the reality is, in order to have a sustainable economy, you probably want those cards to be worth 5 cents. Like, that's a great economy. And you'll have high value cards, but you want this thriving engine. And so we're very, very excited to be able to start properly ramping up performance marketing. And we've seen a massive increase in our weekly active players into the, you know, many tens of thousands this year as well, which has been really exciting. But we're excited to take that to, you know, the 500,000, which is, I think, where also even that level of success, people are saying, hey, you can build a genuine mainstream game with this technology. So that's on that side. On the Immutable X side, it's very clear, which is we are keen to start scaling Ethereum's NFTs. We want as many people as possible to be using Immutable X. We want to design Immutable X so that it gives people the best possible trading experience. It gives marketplace is the best possible way to monetize as a marketplace. It gives applications the best possible way to trade items inside. You know, the goal is really, we want to be the people invisible under the hood, helping people who want to use Ethereum, the leading public blockchain, to create NFTs, to be able to do so for free, for gas, for no gas costs whatsoever.
No pressure then. That is pretty simple. Half a million players.
Well, luckily we've been working on this probably, you know, longer than anyone. I certainly didn't know of anyone building a layer two for NFTs back in the day. And you know, we've also made some excellent partnerships, whether that's with Stark, where the kind of leading ZK proof providers in the space, who I think are the best kind of long term choice here.
Good, excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time. We'll put in all the links so people can find you and find out what's going on and keep up to date with all the many things you're doing.
Thanks, John. And
obviously, thank you guys for watching and listening. We are slowly grinding out towards our 100th episode. Got 9 more to go. We will get there eventually. But thanks for watching. Please reach out on the usual channels if you have any comments and if you want to certainly on the podcast, give us any reviews. That would be fantastic. Helps people find the podcast. But other than that, just to say, every week we are talking to the people who are building this kind of weird, crazy, exciting new kind of form of gaming, I suppose. So please subscribe through the usual channels to keep up to date. And come back next week, see what's going on then.